This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And that song means it's time for Ray Fittipaldo to join us here on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan, talking all things football. Hello, Ray.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I didn't know if I was going to see you or not with this YouTube face. So you are on video. I didn't know that.
I am home for a few more days. Next week, Bob, I will be at the Combine all week. So, we'll have to make it work another way next week for these hits.
Yeah, but you're always reliable, always there, and I look forward to it. So the Combine is coming up, and you know, this is the time of year where people speculate just about everything. I want to start with quarterback with you because that's the one position everybody gravitates to, and every name you hear comes up, speculation moves one way or the other, and you know, I don't know what to believe anymore, but you're close to everything over there, and I'm just curious, Do you get a feeling they're in the market to make some sort of signing in free agency, or do you think it's going to be a choice simply of Fields or Wilson for one more year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a choice of either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, and I think, you know, people have heard by now, it's been reported that there's maybe a little bit of, I don't want to say division, but debate on, you know, who it's going to be. I think there are, you know, people in that building who want Justin Fields, and there are people who prefer, you know, a veteran who's been there and done that to, you know, go along with, you know, some of the other aging vets who, you know, they want to take care of them. They want to win for guys like T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward. So that's kind of the, you know, the push and pull right now. And just, you know, Bob, looking ahead to this year's draft, I was on a conference call with Daniel Jeremiah yesterday. It's not a great group of quarterbacks coming out of the college ranks. You know, he said yesterday, Cam Ward, who I think everyone has as the number one QB this year, he would have been fifth in last year's draft class. Shedeur Sanders, who's probably number two behind Ward this year, would be like sixth or seventh, you know, in last year's draft class. So that sort of gives you an idea of what the Steelers might do here. I mean, they could take a stab at one in the middle rounds, but I think everything is setting up for either Wilson or Fields to be a bridge quarterback, and then maybe they go get their future starter in 2026 when the draft is supposed to be much better at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think that's the prudent way to go. And my, you know, my thought would be Fields would be the guy. I'd rather take my chances with a 25-year-old guy who I still think has upside versus what we've seen from Russell Wilson. All due respect, it's a Hall of Fame resume. But if you want to bring it back for another year, I don't know that it's going to be as productive at times as it was this past year. So we saw how it started. We saw how it ended. Are you, if you had to make a bet today on one of those two, would you go with Fields or go with Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, just knowing how, you know, Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith want to approach their offense, I mean, it is set up as a run-first offense, and they were much better overall in the running game when Justin Fields was in there. You know, Arthur Smith talks about this all the time. When you have a running threat in the behind center, the defenses have to account for him. And they don't have to do that for Russell Wilson. So it just makes it easier for him to scheme up, you know, good running plays. And, you know, I think that's the direction he's probably leaning. And just, you know, based on what Mike Tomlin has said over the years as well about quarterback mobility, how he really covets that in the quarterback, you know, I think Mike, you know, is probably trending in the Justin Fields camp as well. I don't know that for a fact, but just sort of reading the tea leaves based on what he said and what Arthur Smith has said throughout the season, I think Justin Fields is probably, you know, like they said last year, you know, he's in pole position. Russell was in pole position last year, I think, because of his vet status. I think this year, just based on everything, I would give a slight edge to Justin going into next week. We should find out next week or the week after, Bob. They can't prolong this
right
very much longer.
No, I think they need to make a decision. But you're right about, you know, having a running back who commands attention. We saw that in this, you know, Barkley with Philadelphia and how much attention that Kansas City had to pay to him. It opens things up down the field for others if you can find those others to make that possible. So that leads me into wide receiver and George Pickens. And, you know, a year left. Are you of the mindset, Ray, that they're going to just let this play out and see what happens? Or do you think they've seen enough and believe enough that they could sign him to an extension? Or do you believe they may even consider a trade?
Yeah, to me, and I know everyone wants to know about the quarterbacks next week when Omar talks, but for me, this is the number one topic of the offseason. What are they going to do with George Pickens? Because, you know, I would be in the camp of trading him because I think you can recoup some draft resources in a really good draft where you could take care of some other positions and likely reinvest in the receiver position. And then you would rid yourself of a guy who really hasn't fit here. I don't think there's any doubt, you know, say what you want about his on-field production. It's been good, Bob, but I don't think the production matches his talent level. Like, I think that guy is a top five talent, but he doesn't produce the numbers that a top five talent does. And you can blame that on the offensive line. You can blame that on the quarterback. You can blame that on the coaches. But the bottom line is he's not really producing big numbers for the Steelers. So when I sit back and I analyze, I just say, is it worth it? You know, all the headaches that come with George Pickens, is it worth it to have him on your roster and to deal with all the shenanigans that happened throughout the season? So that's where I am right now. I think, you know, the likely scenarios for me would be a trade or just playing it out one more year. But there's a lot of danger that comes with that, Bob. I mean, that can go real south real quick, you know, next fall if he's not on board.
Or it could go the other way. And I think we saw Najee Harris, you know, I think a lot of people wondered what would happen. They didn't pick up his option. Not that Pickens needs to have an option picked up, but he is in the final year.
Yeah.
Sometimes it brings out the best in a player who knows he has to know that how he is viewed this year will be absolutely traceable to this season. So maybe he gets the kind of production you want, and then you're, you know, probably forced to franchise him at that point. So I guess that is a risk involved. If they do what you say and trade him and acquire draft equity, that leaves them with not much in their wide receiving room. So I assume you think they're going to draft in the first round a wide receiver, and I also would assume you think they're going to sign somebody, right? And of the logical people, who would that be?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe it's even guys who are still on roster. So they're not pending free agents, but they're either going to be released or on the trading block. And, you know, the two names are Cooper Kupp and Deebo Samuel. You know, I could see the Steelers going after either of those guys, you know, particularly, Bob, if they're released, you know, their salary number is going to go way down from what it was. You know, Cooper Kupp at 32 isn't worth you know, the $23, $24 million the Rams were going to pay him. That's why they want to trade him. And that's, you know, the same goes for Deebo Samuels, right? I think you can probably get those guys at a pretty decent price. In terms of the draft, I mean, this is a good year for receivers. I wouldn't term it as great. But I think you can get a starting receiver, yes, certainly on round one if you want to go that route. But you could probably wait until round two to address it, maybe even round three. You know, that's a little bit more of a slippery slope. You know, they drafted Roman Wilson last year in round three. He didn't work out. He had injury. So you are taking a chance if you wait. But, Yeah, I think certainly on the first 2 days of the draft, they will select a receiver for sure.
Ray Fittipaldo is brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western Pennsylvania injury attorneys that take your personal injury cases personally. So based on that, you're pretty much looking at a whole new wide receiving room here. I know that Roman Wilson was highly thought of. What has this year meant as far as the coaching staff belief in it? I know he's injured. I understand that comes with it, just like Fautano. I don't think they've soured on anyone. But does it hamper the way they maybe are viewed by coaches now, having missed an entire season?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think so. I just think when guys get injured as early as he did, Bob, and I think he was injured on the third day of training camp, when you miss that big six-week chunk of practices and, you know, meetings, and everything is so condensed in training camp, but a lot of learning and teaching goes on there. When you miss that, it really just sets you back. So he came back for a short time, was injured again, and at that point they pretty much said, listen, you're not going to help us this year. We're going to keep you on IR, and you know, you'll be around the building and you'll learn, but you're not going to get to play. So, I'm sure the Steelers are looking at it this way with both Roman Wilson and Troy Fautanu. They're looking at that like they got two guys who missed most of the season, and they're going to be almost like new draft picks in 2025. So they have like eight draft picks that they're going to choose in April, and Fautanu and Wilson are going to be pretty much in that same boat because their rookie seasons were cut short. So the Steelers will try to, you know, spin that in a positive direction, and that's the way they're going to view it. And I think both those guys, certainly Fautanu, have the potential to be impact starters next season.
Well, he needs to be, but Broderick Jones is the other guy who is part of this equation. Now that he moves to the other side, I know that's a natural position, so I would expect maybe improved numbers there in terms of sacks allowed. But what you've seen him in 2 years, where are you with Broderick Jones?
Yeah, I mean, that's the difficult part of the draft, right? Because everyone gets so excited this time of year. You know, we're all looking at who the Steelers are going to draft at 21. You know, Broderick Jones was drafted at 14, Bob, and it hasn't really worked out yet to this point. Now, I do think there is time, and I do think that going back to his natural left side is going to help him. I think that's going to, you know, do a lot for him just to have a home, right? He's been a team player. He's flipped over to the other side. He's done what's asked of him, but I don't know if that was necessarily the best thing for Broderick Jones. So this is a huge year for him. He's got to improve, and he's got to be really good on that left side for the Steelers' offensive line and for their long-term plan at offensive line to work. That was the foundation of Omar Khan and Andy Weidel's first couple of drafts, improve the offensive line. They've invested the resources, and now it's time for guys like Jones and Fautanu, and I thought Frazier played great as a rookie, and
McCormick,
you know, too. Mason McCormick. It's time for these guys to step up and, you know, become that dominant line that that Khan and Weidel and Tomlin think they can be.
Which is why I don't expect any of these draft picks to be offensive linemen this year. Instead, you got to concentrate on the other side of the ball, which was a big asset for a team like Philadelphia. So they got, you know, Cam Hayward coming back. The rest of them are kind of wild cards to me. I you know, Ogunjobi is one of those guys who, man, you can save money there. Benton, I don't know. I had higher hopes for Benton. Leal has regressed. Is that me? Hopefully not. I thought I heard a buzzing sound there, Joel. I thought maybe I was creating a problem. But Loudermilk, all those guys you could put into the same thing, they have not taken a step forward. So where does that leave them, and how many of these draft picks will be defensive linemen?
Well, certainly one early, and I could see them taking two in this draft. And I have a story up at postgazette.com right now that is looking at this very deep defensive tackles class. And, you know, one thing Daniel Jeremiah said yesterday is, you know, these big nose tackle types. I don't even know if you have a true Casey Hampton style nose tackle anymore coming out of the college ranks, but you do have these guys who are known as run stuffers, and they are much more valuable in today's NFL than maybe they were 5 or 10 years ago, just because of what you mentioned before, you know, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry. You know, the Steelers gave up what? In the final two games against the Ravens, Bob, I think they gave up over 500 yards rushing. Yeah. So they got to fix the run defense. First of all, I think the number one domino to fall is, what do they do with Ogunjobi? You could save $8 million if you cut him. That's probably going to happen. And then what do you want to do with Keanu Benton? He's a smaller type of a nose. Do you want to draft a big guy to plug in the middle and then move Benton to replace Ogunjobi? Or do you want to keep Benton where he is and then draft Ogunjobi's replacement? So they got a lot of different paths they could take there. But certainly defensive line is very deep, and it's a great year for the Steelers to try to rebuild that that front seven.
Yeah, they definitely need to do that. And there's still other holes beyond that. You know, I look at cornerback position. I'm not sure where they are with Jackson and anyone else. They need help there. You got to have depth at that position, especially if you don't get the kind of pressure up front that you desire to get. I guess it's on the board, but how important is that position with regard to this draft coming up?
Yeah, again, they got to figure out what they're going to do with Jackson. You know, I thought he was good, and then he was banged up and injured for the final 6 weeks of the season, which, you know, was not a great development for him or for the team, to be quite honest with you. So if they go back to Jackson, that's fine. But if not, you know, you're probably going to have to invest in free agency in a corner and maybe even in the draft. Now, this is probably a decent year for corners. There's maybe one or two that you might see go in the first round, but there's guys that you can get second, third round who, you know, might be able to come in and challenge for a job. If not this year, then maybe next year. So, I think depending on what happens with Jackson, I can see them going out and signing a corner in free agency, and then maybe taking a flyer on one, say, you know, round two, three, four, something like that, just to get some fresh bodies in there, because it has kind of been like a rotating door there. Guys in and out, nobody that they can really count on opposite Joey Porter.
You know, a lot of people, and I look at the text line to get results from what people think, and people have come to the conclusion now with an increased salary cap and with some shedding of contracts, there's going to be a lot of money to spend, which people love to spend. Yeah. I understand that. But there are lessons learned. I looked at the Jets yesterday because, man, you talk about dead money hits. They spent over $110 million on Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Alan Lazard, and Randall Cobb. And it's going to cost them, and they didn't get much in return. 66 games, not a lot of productive days. It's going to cost them $64 million in dead cap charges this year, and they got nothing out of that. So it is dangerous to go and just do it all that way, but I got to believe they're going to some. I want to ask you about Najee Harris, because Jerry seemed to indicate that there maybe is a belief that they're going to bring him back. And I would say to that, if that was their thought process, then maybe they should have picked up that option last year. They didn't.
Right.
Because they did, and it'll cost them more if they want to do it. So is it reasonable to expect that he would come back?
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, $6.7 million on the option if they picked it up last May, and now you probably are. You know, the market for a guy like Harris is probably beyond that. So you are right about that. It's a little curious to me. I mean, I trust Jerry's sourcing on that, but it is a little bit curious to me that they would want to do that. And just because this running backs class coming out in this draft is loaded, Bob. I mean, you can get guys, you can get starter capable players in 1, 2, 3, even in the fourth round. It's that deep. And, you know, I don't even know if the Steelers need like a workhorse type of a starter. They maybe just need like a guy that they could pair with Jalen Warren. So, you know, we'll see what direction that goes here. You know, I tend to think, you know, just given the way this draft is, that you're maybe better off going with Warren and drafting a guy. But Mike Tomlin does love Najee Harris. He made him a captain in year two, and that's been his guy. So maybe it is going to turn out that way.
Are you of the belief that Jalen Warren can be an every down back, a three down back?
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to be. I mean, you look at Najee Harris, year one, Bob, rookie year, had the most touches in the NFL, I think 426, just blew away everyone else. After that, they got really smart. And if you look at the snap distribution and the carry distribution the last three seasons since Warren came on the scene, it's been pretty much a 50-50 split, if not 50-50, 55-45. So, you know, I don't know that they need, like, that type of a guy. You know, just get a guy who can come in and split time with Warren. Warren's probably going to play the same number of snaps, and whoever you draft or whoever you bring in can sort of pick up and have Warren's old role. So that's the way I would do it. And quite frankly, Bob, that's the way most teams do it. Even Saquon Barkley and the Eagles. I mean, who killed the Steelers in that Eagles game more? Saquon Barkley or the other guy who scored a couple touchdowns?
Yeah, Gainwell.
Kenneth Gainwell.
Yeah.
Kenneth Gainwell did more damage. So even the Eagles, when they're paying Saquon Barkley all that money, even they have a guy who comes in and, you know, can really do damage to a defense as well.
Yeah, and there's no question about that. I think it's going to be a fascinating offseason, and I think it all starts with a draft combine coming up. And, Ray, I look forward to your coverage. You do a great job with it. I look forward to having you on the number one Cochran Sports Showdown when you come back from that, and we'll see you down the road. Also, want to mention one more time that Ray is brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western Pennsylvania injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases very personally. Thanks, Ray. Have a good trip to Indianapolis.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right. That's Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette talking Steelers and a lot of the things which haven't changed all that much. You know the list. There's a lot of people on the list that they have to figure out, whether that's contract extension, whether that's just moving on from somebody and saving some money when they can. I also think TJ Watt, this has been a topic that we've had over and over and over, and they're going to have to figure out money for him now, I would imagine. So if you do that, that's going to take up, and I would imagine he wants and deserves whatever is top market. He's been that way. But if you're going to do it for another 3 or 4 years, you know, be mindful of the fact that he is getting older, and I know they want him to be around here and what he means to this team. But there is that train of thought that if you trade him, you could really get some draft equity. Ray mentioned Pickens in a trade. What about TJ Watt if that were available? I don't know if they're going to do that. It seems to me they won't do it. But it could certainly bring in a bushel full of good things that you could use to help your current situation on offense. So these are all fascinating questions. We'll continue to take your calls on it at 412-928-9370. But I want to remind you, 93.7 The Fan is turning 15 years old, and you're invited to an anniversary party next Wednesday, February 26th at Rivers Casino. The party is going to be free, but you need a ticket to get in. Visit Hampton Beer Outlet in Allison Park today from 4 to 5. The first 10 people get a pair of tickets to the event. Again, that's today from 4 to 5 at Hampton Beer Outlet in Allison Park. Special drawing at 5 o'clock for an extra pair of tickets. And we'll keep reminding you throughout the next several days. Open lines are next, 412-928-9370. Also, hit us up on the Fan text line, same as a call-in line. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. More calls on the way. We're talking Steelers. We're talking the Four Nations. Your thoughts about it. The Penguins now jump right back into action tomorrow. That's a quick turn for some of these guys who played. Not much time to rest up. And back-to-back games with the Capitals and the Rangers over the weekend. Do they have a shot to get to the playoffs? And if not, what does Kyle Dubas do on the March 7th trade deadline? All next, right here on the Pomp and Joe Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Friday. Weekend about to begin on the Pomp and Joe Show. Joe Starkey is off today. He'll be back on Monday. Want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. And we've been talking a lot about the Four Nations. We also have been talking a lot about The Steelers in their offseason just had Ray Fittipaldo on, so very interesting stuff about what they should do moving forward and where they need to spend most of their offseason in terms of what needs are top on the priority list. And it would be wide receiver. Could be a whole different vibe next year if they do decide to do something with George Pickens, if they do decide to move on from him. And I don't know if that's in the cards or not. We'll find out. I've noticed this is the time of year you're going to see a lot of guys who have big options coming up and certainly have big bonuses coming up. One of them is Bosa out in San Francisco. Apparently, they're going to release him based on the amount of money he's due in March. You're going to find a lot of those kind of people out there, and they're going to be available. So how do they go about constructing it at 412-928-9370? Paul in Colorado is on the air right now. He joins us on the fan hotline. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Doing great. What's up in Colorado?
Well, I'm in the mountains southwest of Denver here, and we got almost 2 feet of snow last night, so I'm clearing that out.
Well, but I imagine that goes all the way into May.
Yeah, at least May. So we'll, now's the time, but it's good for water. Anyways, I just wanted to touch base, and I'm from Pittsburgh and lived in Colorado most of my life, though, and just the T.J. Watt thing, it seems like a foregone conclusion that he'll get re-signed, and obviously he's been great for the franchise, but it's kind of like that saying, you know, if we're not winning with him, then why can't we not win without him? He could just be more of a help as a jump start in a trade. I don't understand why it's just so frowned upon to trade the guy. I mean, he's been great, but I mean, we gotta start the rebuild, and that would just be a massive help.
Yeah, you know, it is a business first and foremost, and they do business the way they do business, and it's been consistent that way, and it's worked well for them. But you do get to a point here where you wonder, how many more productive years does T.J. Watt have? And I hope there's a lot, because I do believe that he will be resigned. I don't think they're even looking at potentially trading him. But if you did trade him, you can accelerate whatever it is you need on the other side of the ball. Same as Pickens. If you really want to go down that route, it's unorthodox for them. But if you traded T.J. Watt to a team that really needed an edge rusher like that, you're going to end up getting a couple of number ones, I would imagine, or a one or a two or something they use immediately to change maybe the direction of your offense. That would be the reason to do it. But I, like you, do not see that happening. I think instead they'll engage him in a contract, and it'll be done sometime in this offseason.
I agree, Bob. Hey, I love your show, and have a good one. Enjoy listening every day.
I'm glad you took a break from your snow shoveling. Remember, bad things can happen out there if you shovel too much, so don't do it in an overdose way. Just take your time.
I do it in rounds, in stages, so thanks a lot.
All right. How about that? A couple of feet of snow. Right like that. We haven't been under that sort of weather pattern here. It's cold, but it's not like that. Jim at Oakmont is up next here on the Fan Hotline, which is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Bob, two comments. First of all, a little bit more than a casual fan. It was such an enjoyment to watch such a high level of hockey last night and such intenseness. But I happened to catch this morning, Stephen A., and he had on P.K. Subban, in which they went over the whole thing. And then when he asked P.K. Subban about the intensity and the loyalty, he went into about a three-minute greatest soliloquy on Sidney Crosby. What a great player. He's the face of the sport. He's one of the, will go down as one of the all-time three best players, which I thought was quite a statement. And it was... it was really something. If you have a chance, listen to that, because I didn't figure Stu
did.
Had to be that kind of guy.
I saw it. It was on Instagram, and I saw it, and he passionately talked, you're right, about the difference between the hockey culture and maybe the NBA culture, and that these
guys will
do anything for their country, and they will sacrifice. And a lot of guys did sacrifice. They have injuries that are going to take them well into the end of the season. So, but they do it because of the pride of I don't know that the NBA would ever stage something like that. But if they did, I don't think they would have the same sort of passion that hockey. That's the one thing about a hockey culture. It starts young, and it continues all the way through their life.
And the NBA players, there's no incentive, because the fifth or sixth guy on an NBA team makes five times more than Conor McDavid.
Speaking of that, did you see the situation that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is in? He's ready so he's a star player with Oklahoma City, right?
Right, OKC.
Yeah, he's been terrific. There's no question, but he's due for one of those Supermax deals. All right, this Supermax deal will be in excess of $300 million over like 4 years. It'll pay him about $80 million a year. But because this situation with these Supermax is predictable, you know exactly the numbers, he felt it was not necessary to retain his attorney. And that saved him $11 million, given the percentage the attorney would charge on that $80 million a year kind of thing.
That's a smart move. I mean, I suppose.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Bob, one quick thing on football. You know, there's some, I'm just as disgusted as everyone else about the no movement, no change. But I just I'm at the conclusion now. I think for the duration of this Rooney's head of the team, no matter what, for a lot of reasons, he's never going to remove this coach. It's never going to happen. Does I think he's a terrible coach? No. But if you don't score points in this league, you need defense, but you have to be able to score points. And if you continue to have such a juvenile offense, you're not going to score points. I don't put a lot of stock in what Edelman said because I don't like Edelman, but there's probably some truth in it too. And I hope that is a momentum for him to consider himself, hey, I've been around for a long time. I got to change a little bit. Don't see it coming, but I hope.
Well, I don't see. First of all, Mike Tomlin's not going to be here forever. There will be a time when they make a change. I'm not sure when that time is. I thought it might have occurred last year. Thanks for the call, Jim, in Oakmont, that they had an end to a contract. And instead of extending, they could have just let it play out, just like we're talking about with some of these players, but they chose not to do that. Mike is a good coach. But I also think they have to change something. They have to evolve. And that's the word that you continue to hear about offensive, how you evolve from it. This is not to say you can't win with a physical offense. You can. I think Philadelphia proved that. And some of these teams like Baltimore have proven that. You can run the ball first. You can do a lot of that stuff. It's a good thing if you can. It makes your offense more productive down the field when you can offer that up. And it's something that a team has to account for. But you got to have... You got to be able to play the down the field game much better than they've been able to do it. And so we'll see with year two of Arthur Smith and what he can dial up. And I think a lot of that has to do with whether or not Justin Fields can take the next level, because I do believe he's going to be their quarterback. And if he is, he has to take the next level. Jim in the South Hills is on the air right now. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Hey, good, Bob. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. Hey, the reason I called is that you were talking about Najee and not picking up the fifth-year option. And I go back to 2023, and for the first time, I really thought Tomlin was making a stand. You know, early in the year, he got rid of Chooks, was mopping off. They got rid of Chooks, right? Ate that contract. And then Deontay was obviously being a problem. Boom, he's gone. Kenny Pickett doesn't take a helmet in Seattle, I think, right? They trade him. And then the Buffalo playoff game, again, going back to 23 season, after the game, remember Najee had a couple things to say that weren't real complimentary of the environment around the team and the clubhouse. And I really thought maybe the reason why they didn't give him the fifth-year option, you know, and I know there's other reasons, of course, but I was encouraged because I thought for the first time, really Tomlin was making a stand against, you know, some of the players, the malcontents.
Yeah,
I
don't know. First of all, if they felt that way about him, they wouldn't have given him the ball as much as they did. I think he had a pretty good year based on that. But those other guys, I think when you see stuff like that happen, I'm not surprised. In the case of Pickett, I was surprised, quite frankly, because I thought Kenny Pickett was specifically Mike Tomlin's choice, and he would have dealt with a lot of things with him, but it obviously didn't work that way. And so, by the way, on a shameless plug here, I see that Pat Bostic is going to have Kenny Pickett on tomorrow morning in his 8 o'clock hour, so you'll be able to listen to that and see what he has to say, perhaps, about his departure and how that all went down. But, yeah, those kind of things, when you see them and if they start affecting maybe chemistry in the locker room, and I still think they have some other issues that they got to deal with in that locker room. But, yeah, you don't want that to continue. And Deontay Johnson suddenly has gone from every team in the NFL. And not too long ago, they signed him to a 3-year, you know, $36 million deal. And then it all went backwards, so just like his running. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Greg in Pittsburgh, who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
What's up?
I had a question. So what would you think of trading George Pickens to the Chargers for their first-round pick? And grabbing the two offensive linemen from Ohio State, Jack Sawyer and JT.
I mean, first of all, if I'm going to do that, I don't want another offensive lineman. If I'm going to do it, I need somebody else to take the vacancy up from George Pickens. They have a lot of talent.
Well, they're defensive linemen, I think.
Oh, I thought you said offensive line. Okay. No, they have a deep defensive line draft. Yeah, that would be fine. But I don't think, first of all, you know, I don't know what the asking price would be for him. I don't know if he's going to command a first-round pick, to be honest with you. You've seen him now for 3 years. Would someone give up a first-round pick for George Pickens? No total package? I don't know. There could be assets there, but I don't know if it would be a first-round pick, given the way the NFL makes trades. If you look at some of these veteran guys who've been dealt, some of them are getting third-round picks, fourth-round picks, whatever the case may be. I mean, Justin Fields fell all the way to a sixth-round pick. And still, young quarterback, you thought it would have been more than that. So, I don't know. But so far, there hasn't been any activity there. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. My guess on him would be they're going to bring him back for one more year and see what happens. And that's dangerous in a way, because if you do bring him back in 1 year and you hope he has a big year because it's in his best interest to have a big year, then you have the dilemma of, okay, now you got to franchise him. And he may not like that, and there could be some problems with that. But I think that's the most logical thing at this point. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Bob.
Appreciate it. But, bye. I mean, those kind of conversations are out there for sure. 412-928-9370. I want to tell you about a chance to win a trip to Vegas and stay at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. It's the premium sports viewing destination. And to visit the biggest March hoops party that you're ever going to see at Stadium Swim for you and three guests. Plus, how about this, $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. You can be eligible, and all you have to do is download and listen to The Fan on the free Odyssey app. Listen every day on the app for a minimum of 1 hour, and you receive an entry. It's that simple. The national contest runs through Sunday, February 23rd, so get the free Odyssey app right now. Listen to The Fan for one more hour every day, and you'll have a chance to win the ultimate prize package. When we come back, more phone calls. We have Seth, we have Ed, and the line's open for you at 412-928-9370. It's the Pomp and Joe Show on a Friday in 93.7 The Fan. We're back, and the 15-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Joel Nelson's behind the glass, takes your calls at 412-928-9370. We continue to talk about the Four Nations. Like to get your take on that. The Pirates open up tomorrow. They brought in Andrew Haney, a left-hand pitcher, so you would imagine their starting five would be Skeens, Jones, Keller, Falter, and Haney, two lefties with Oviedo getting close. It's a good starting staff. But my question to you is, do you think this paves the way for them making a trade to get a bat? Because they need a bat. No, they need more than one bat. They need five bats. But with Haney here, they could possibly, look to trade one of their blue chip pitching prospects. Why not? You're trying to make this team good now. They've wasted opportunities with free agency. They have spent virtually nothing on a year I really felt it was natural for them to spend, and they didn't do it. So that's on the table as well, some Steeler topics. But Four Nations, too, I want to get what your take is on it. Do you think it was worth it for 2 weeks? I loved the hockey. It was a passionate hockey. You don't see this kind of stuff in the regular season. At 412-928-9370. Ed joins us right now in Moon Township. Hello, Ed. What's up?
Yes. Hi, Bob. Jason Mackey is a great writer, and he seems like a fantastic fella.
Yes, sir.
He made a statement in his column this morning, and he said, Crosby played the tournament with one arm. He said, I don't know what that will mean for the Penguins, and I also don't care. Well, here's what really frosted me with that, Bob. Nothing against Jason Mackey, but Jason Mackey goes to the hockey games, and he pays nothing, okay? Now, no one puts a gun to my head to force me to buy season tickets. But just as a point of reference, Bob, and maybe you could pass this on to Jason, 25% of my combined with my wife or combined Social Security check, 25% of that goes to hockey tickets.
Wow, that's a big percentage of your money. You must be a real big hockey fan. 25% of what you bring in Social Security, that's a commitment. So I understand. Well, yeah. I understand what your point is going to be.
I'm just saying, as percentage of my Social Security check.
Okay.
So I think this is ridiculous. If they want to play this thing, which means absolutely nothing, if they want to play it, play it in September. They need, you know, before the season starts. Play it in August, play it in July, but don't take the season. All the momentum of the season is just gone bye-bye. People get hurt. Charlie McAvoy got hurt. Matthew Tkachuk got hurt. Brady Tkachuk got hurt.
Shea Theodore got hurt. He's going to be out for a long time.
Yeah, and I mean, for Jason to say he doesn't care, well, I care.
No, I understand. You're investing and you want to see him play, and there potentially is a likelihood he may not play tomorrow. I don't know if he is or isn't, and I'm not sure the extent of whatever injury. You know, he was good enough to play, and I know that Sidney Crosby wanted to play in that game. I do like your idea of doing it sometime other than when we saw it, but they were trying to figure out something opposite of an all-star game, which is kind of dudded out, you know what I mean? I wouldn't be opposed to doing it before the season starts. It's like a training camp. You know, you're trying to get your team ready anyway, and these guys are off on their own doing their own thing. But did you like the product, what you saw of it?
It was fantastic hockey, and I really enjoyed it. But for him to say, I don't care what this means for the Penguins, well, as a season ticket holder, you know.
No, I do care what it means to the Penguins, and it was one of my concerns about going into this. If you're a team, especially if you're a top team, and you lose a couple of guys to injury because they wanted to play in this, it does affect your team. In Sidney Crosby's case, where the Penguins are, the likelihood of them doing it, listen, he's earned the right to do whatever he wants to do, and I think the Penguins would support him in any of that. So he was good enough to play. We'll see what he does. And if I know anything about Crosby, he'll be on the ice tomorrow, so you'll be able to see him against the Capitals.
Yeah, it just kind of upsets me a little bit, because now if he's hurt, I got about 12 or 13 games to go to at pretty big dollars, which means pretty much absolutely nothing. And I know there's a chance that they get in, but it's pretty much shot.
Yeah, well, too many teams to overcome. The hole is deep. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate the call, and I hope you get to see them all. Malkin should be back, and he's now confirmed that he's not going to end his career in Russia. He's going to stay here to play it all out. But, you know, Kyle Dubas has a lot of questions that he has to answer with regard to how do you remake this this roster here. By keeping the guys who have no movement clauses, fine, but what do you use to bring in more? How do you go about getting more to have in your organization who can come up here and play and make immediate impacts? They also have the issue of Tristan Jarry to deal with. What do you do with him? Most likely they're going to have to buy him out and just take the loss. Unless something changes drastically, I expect Nedeljkovic to be in goal tomorrow, and they're going to ride him a little bit. And then if things don't go well, then you'll see more of Blomqvist. Seth on Long Island is joining us here on the Pomp and Joe Show today on a Friday. What's up, Seth?
Hey, Bob. Love the show, man. You and Joe do a great job. I know, obviously, Joe's not there, but happy Friday. And
you too.
Thanks for taking the call. Hey, man, you know, love the Four Nations. Love the Four Nations. Obviously, was rooting for Sid to have a great game, but the U.S. to win. But I love it. And, you know, again, it's a shame some of these guys got hurt. But as far as going to, Justin Fields, the quarterback situation, Bob, I don't know what's taking so long to make this decision. I called him before I spoke with you and Joe a bunch of times. I've been a Fields believer, you know, since he got here. Man, Chicago, you know, two coaches, two offensive coordinators. He's a solid citizen. He's a leader in the locker room, quiet leader, right? Got a presence. He follows the rules. They put a straitjacket on him. And, you know, the bottom line is the mentality that Tomlin plays with, let this kid play. If he can play, let him play. You know, let's see what he could do for the entire season. They should have, I mean, honestly, they should have been 5-1, right? The defense gave up. They lost that drive to the Cowboys, right? The game-winning drive, mm-hmm. and they were down 21-3 to the Colts, and he almost brought them back. You know, he had some fumbles. He recovered most of them, but he played in the system they wanted him to play in. He deserves the opportunity to show what he's got, in my humble opinion. And if they're so concerned about his accuracy, get him a dedicated quarterback coach, like the Ravens did for Lamar. Right.
They do have a quarterback coach, and I think.
Yeah, I know, but he. I don't know if he did a great job with him, but at the end of the day, he's been progressing, and if he was 5-1, Bob, you know, again, it's theoretical. You're not going to be able to answer it, nor can I. If he was 5-1, or even if they beat the Colts and they were 6-0, would he have still benched Fields.
No,
right?
No, I don't think so at all. I think, and looking back, Seth, maybe the best play was to just let him play out the whole year. But they made a commitment to Russell Wilson once he got healthy. I think they wanted to see what it looked like. I understood it. But looking back in retrospect, which is always easier, I would have liked to have seen the whole season and see how that played out. And I can make a quick assessment, a much quicker assessment on what I think he's capable of doing long term. And if that helps me make my decision, which I think it would have.
I mean, you got this guy. I mean, you had Russell Wilson, and this is what would puzzle me the most of all. You know, like you say, they could have definitely, if they let him play it out, I would have never promised Wilson the pole position. That's probably the only way they were able to get him here, right? So why can't they just make this decision, go with Fields now, stop messing around, and let him cook, man. You know, using Russ's
– let Justin cook. Let Justin cook. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
no, I hear it. I think – and Seth, thanks for the call. I think that's definitely in the cards. I think that is, if I'm going to put betting odds on this, Fields would be my leader in the clubhouse there. Even though I think there's some in the organization who still would like to see Russell Wilson, I think it's going to be Fields. It saves it. You have a chance to develop him, and maybe if he surprises you and develops quicker than you thought in the past game, and I realize there are people out there who say he's already had all these years to show you that he can't. Well, he has had some very good games in the past department with Chicago, and I think you mentioned it, one in Indianapolis here in Pittsburgh where he came all the way back and he was forced to do it. So to me, I'm not going to give up on that. I still think that's worth doing. And then if it doesn't work out by the end of next year, you can make a decision moving forward about the draft. All right, Tony and Butler, hang on. We're going to get to you to start off the next hour. We are up against a break. The Fan Hotline, which has been active today, is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. So